Good morning again. Thank you for being with us. This, the second Sunday in the season of Lent, we have this marvelous, often told story about Jesus and his disciple Peter. Remember, the disciple who will go on to lead the church, having this exchange in which Jesus tells him, "Get behind me, Satan, for you have your mind on earthly things, not heavenly things." Difficult story. But I think it's easy to understand why this story is the way it is if you have kids. When I say if you have kids, I mean the act of raising children brings so much of life into focus that might not otherwise have the opportunity to come into focus. I know one of the things that I had read about, heard about, seen used by other people, even my own parents, was a little parenting trick. When a kid gets in trouble, you, instead of imposing a punishment on the child to make it stick better, to make it come home more, you say to the kid, instead of, okay, you're grounded for a week, you say to them, what do you think your punishment should be? And you know, as a parent, I assumed that this would be a way that I would enter into dialogue with my children, and we would discuss what is appropriate, what's not appropriate, what behaviors that they need to make up for, and that this would be a conversation that made sense. And then I had children. And then I tried it. Let me tell you what. When you say to a child, well, you know, you punched your sister, you didn't do your chore, you did something you're not supposed to do, what do you think your punishment for this should be? Kids come up with stuff that you as a parent would never impose. What do you think your punishment should be? I should probably be grounded for the next 3 months. Well, okay, first of all, that's a punishment for you and for me, because that means in the next 3 months I have to figure out things for you to do while you're grounded. But nobody's going to punish a child with 3 months of being grounded for forgetting to do their chores for a day. Or you say to him, okay, you left your toys out and you didn't pick them up. What do you think your punishment should be? I should lose all my toys. No, I'm not going to do that. Or sometimes they start getting clever. Sometimes they start getting clever and say, well, what do you think your punishment should be for pushing your little sister? I should probably only get one cookie after dinner instead of two. No. See, what we discover very quickly as parents is that if you leave punishments up to children, they have no ability to regulate law and punishment. No ability to determine what is an appropriate use of punishment. They either aim sky high, I should be grounded for the next 3 months and lose all my toys and not be able to look at a video screen, or they're going to reach for what they think they can get away with. I should probably have to eat broccoli at dinner tonight. You're eating broccoli at dinner tonight no matter what, because that's what's on your plate. And that's how things work. No. What we discover is that human beings are bad at law. And we're bad at understanding how to apply law. Unfortunately, this is true for us adults too. And so sometimes when we're given the choice on how to apply law, we either go one of two different directions. We become legalistic. We become creatures of the law, bound by the law, trusting that the law will bring us all things good. And it doesn't matter if you're talking about a person who is religious in the church or a person who is religious in the secular world. Because let me tell you what, the secular world is full of people who take some element of their life religiously. We live in a world where increasingly people have begun living outside of the bounds of the church, not believing in God or being agnostic or some cafeteria version of religion where they've taken a bit of this and a bit of that and a pinch of this and a pinch of that and put it on their plate and called it something their own. But in this increasingly secular world, let me tell you what, human beings are not handling law very well. They get pretty fundamentalist about whatever laws they've put on their own plates in their own invented understanding of faith. Faith in world, faith in law, faith in being vegan, faith in presidents or ex-presidents, faith in politics. Almost sounds like an oxymoron, but we see a lot of that. Faith in celebrities. Faith in political ideologies. We live in a world where people have made up religions about everything from dog ownership to being parents. And I'm not saying that anyone has opened a first church of the dog. I'm just saying there are people out there who behave as though these secular things that they care very much about are salvific. And they come up with laws that are inflexible. And in today's gospel story, we have Jesus, we have Peter. And Jesus is explaining to Peter and the rest of the disciples that he is going to go to Jerusalem, and there in Jerusalem he is going to preach, he's going to teach, he's going to be betrayed, and he's going to die. Peter says no. Peter says that can't possibly be, because what's supposed to happen is you're supposed to go to Jerusalem, you're supposed to take over as Messiah, you're supposed to be king, you're supposed to drive out the Romans, and you're supposed to create a perfect Jewish kingdom in this world. You're supposed to create this fabulous utopia in which all of Israel is saved, and all of Israel lives in peace, happiness, and prosperity forever and ever. Amen. Now, there's nothing wrong with that dream. The problem is, it's law. Peter has envisioned a world in which through his and Jesus's and the disciples' and Israel's actions, that they build a perfect place here in this world with no faults, and that it is now this utopia of human perfection with a God king who reigns over all of the nation, bringing law and order. And Jesus says, that's a very earthly dream, Peter. It's a very earthly dream about this thing that you have built up in your mind. You've created this religious icon of this ultimate goal for Israel in your mind, and it's a very earthly goal. I'm here for heavenly purposes. And us human beings, we flinch in the face of God's grace. Because it is so extreme. It is so complete. It is so sacrificial that it offends us. It offended Peter. Jesus says, I go to give myself as a sacrifice for all of humanity's sins. And even after Jesus died and resurrected, Peter could hardly believe what Jesus was doing, even though he had explained to them in plain terms what he was doing. I go to die for the sins of all of humanity. All who believe in me will be forgiven. This is what Jesus says to the disciples. This is what Jesus says after the resurrection. This is what Jesus speaks through the gospel message to us. And I hear it time and time again from Christians who hear the message that Jesus Christ died once and for all on the cross for their sins. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be forgiven. And they question, surely it can't be that easy. Well, first of all, having faith in Jesus Christ is not easy. It cannot be that simple. Being a part of the kingdom of God is sometimes quite complicated. It can't be that without law. Truly, we who are in Jesus Christ are not called to abandon the law, but through Jesus Christ we are called to fulfill all of it. But first and foremost, above it all, is the message of grace that comes from Jesus Christ that says to you and to me, absent your human action, absent your righteousness, absent your choice, your agency, God died for your sins on the cross in order that you and everyone else on the planet who chooses not to reject this grace, the good, the bad, the horrible, all are saved who believe. And this is difficult because as human beings, we recognize there ought to be punishment for our sins. And like my children, we have either ridiculously high standards, usually for other people, of how they should be punished, and ridiculously low standards, usually how we should be punished. And we are very terrible at the law. Jesus says, but you're all forgiven. That doesn't mean that we are freed from responsibility to God. In that forgiveness, we are to die to this world and to be born again into the kingdom of God, where we are expected in joy and love, and as a response to having been forgiven, to fulfill all the requirements of the law. But not because it brings us salvation, but because we have received salvation. Peter had in his mind the earthly goal of working Israel's way into a perfect relationship with God. Jesus had in his mind providing a perfect relationship with God in order that humans might then have something to build on to create more perfect relationship with God. Jesus provides us with the salvation. Salvation comes first, action comes after. Peter wanted action to come first, salvation to come at the end. This is the difference between earthly thinking and heavenly thinking. Earthly thinking says, work our way up. Heavenly thinking says, we are up, and now we can work. So I say to you who are gathered together this day, in the season of Lent, maybe you've given something up. Maybe you've taken something up. Maybe you've taken on a lot of Lenten disciplines. I know many people do. Do not be deceived about what you are doing. You are not ameliorating your own sin. You are not causing yourself to become more holy through your actions. You are responding to the action of Jesus Christ on the cross, which has offered to you the fullness of your forgiven sin and new life. And now, in that new life, you may build, during this the season of Lent, on your relationship, which has been made right with God the Father. Amen.